my soul, my Savior God to me. Everybody stand up. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. We're going to sing that again. I started it for a bass singer, okay? Let's raise it up a little bit to where everybody can get in and sing it, all right? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. I wish you could hear what I'm hearing up here. You guys are sounding good. Let's just pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that your people could come together, worship you, praise your name, and Father, help us to understand that you are watching and listening. You're not only listening to our voices, but you're looking at our heart, and you know when it wells up within us just to be grateful for you. And Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for purchasing and giving us grace. For that, we're grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today, we're going to finish up our conversation about, are we people of grace? And I want you to think about that, because we're going to answer that question. Finally, we're going to answer that question, are we people of grace? Okay? So, some things that we've looked at. We've looked at what grace is. We looked at where it came from. We looked at what it cost Jesus. We've looked at the extent of grace, and we looked at the power of grace. But before we discover if we're actually people of grace, let's just review a few things that we learned about. First, where did grace come from? Can anybody tell me? Go with me to John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for of his fullness we have received. We have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it was like before Jesus? I mean, I cannot even imagine living in the Jewish religious system. My goodness, the laws and regulations were so difficult that no human could possibly live those things. That's kind of what the Apostle Paul said. We can't do it. So God organized to send Jesus to give us grace. And having a right standing before God can only be accomplished through grace. We can't reach it but through what Jesus did. And what he gave to us, we can have a right standing before God. That means when God looks at us, he sees his son or daughter, and he smiles. Because he sees the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. If we trusted Christ, that's where grace came from. Was grace necessary? No, we can't. Well, let's just make it in simple terms. Why was grace necessary? And I'm going to use myself as an example. Because God is holy, righteous, perfect, and I'm not. And we're supposed to live together forever. How is it that a perfect, holy, righteous God and me can live together compatible forever? How can that happen? It can't happen unless, of course, grace is applied and the blood of Jesus washes all my sins away. You know, aren't you glad that those... You know, I'm going to say that probably over and over again because really to me, that's one of the biggest things. It's the fact that I am no longer accountable for the sins that I committed. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, the old song says. That's what grace brought to me. Therefore, grace has made us compatible with the Holy God. Matter of fact, He's even invited us to come into His room, the throne room. Come boldly. How can we come boldly? Not on my merit, but the merit of Jesus Christ. We can come boldly through the throne of grace. Only because of Jesus. That's why grace was so necessary. So what is grace? What is grace? Well, you know, a lot of people say God's riches at Christ's expense and all those kinds of things. Grace is God's decision to extend favor to you and I who don't deserve it. His decision to extend to us His favor, people who don't deserve it. And I don't know about you, but that's a humbling thought to understand just what grace is. And you know what? Grace comes to us because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and because of the choice that we have made to believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. So two things are necessary. It's what He did and our choice to accept it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it's freely given because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace is the central theme of the Bible. If not for grace, we would be hopeless. And I'm just going to get down and dirty. If it wasn't for grace, you and I would end up separated from God forever in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and that's called hell. But grace came, and it came through Jesus Christ, and it's available to us today. No wonder we sing Amazing Grace. And John Newton had it right when he said, "That saved a wretch like me." And believe me, if John Newton can be saved, anybody can be saved. Now, he was one bad guy. I don't know, but you ought to read his story sometime. He was the bad of the bad of the bad. Do you know what? He had a Christian mom. And that Christian mom planted some things in his life early on. And you know the value of that? The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing those things back. And one day when John Newton was on this great big ship and he was a slave trader and they were in the ship and all of a sudden there was a storm came. You know, Jonah kind of experienced that too. But a huge storm came, and in the bottom of that ship, in the bowels of the ship, John Newton made a commitment to Christ. This bad guy, a slave trader. And then he writes Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He had it right. So how do we receive grace? Well, there's only one way. And you can quote it to me. You know what I'm going to quote? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God sent the best that he had for me and you. And my responsibility is trust him, and grace becomes mine forever. That is how grace is received. But grace did come only by Jesus. Now, and it should, and it's free. Now listen to this. Why is it so hard for people to accept grace? Can anybody tell me? Why is it so hard for people to accept grace? Okay. Well, those are all good. Pride? Let me just tell you this. I was thinking about this. You know, from the get-go, we have always taught if you're going to make anything, you're going to get anything, you got to earn it, right? You got to go out and work. And if you don't work, you're never going to have anything, so earn it, because you're never going to get anything unless you work for it and earn it. I'm sorry? Yeah. And if, yeah. Thanks. I wish I put that in my notes. That's pretty good. If you get something for free, there's usually a catch. Yeah. Well, there's nothing in life for free. But grace. It's bought and paid for. I mean, all of it was bought and paid for by Jesus. But you know, a lot of people feel like they have to do something for it. They spend their lives trying to earn grace. Grace cannot be bought. Listen to what Paul said in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He, by his mercy, we're saved, and it's not by works of righteousness. The old song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. He took my sin, my debt, and he got out his big rubber stamp. Paid. Thank you. Paid in full. Paid in full. And you know when the devil sneaks up and says, Tony, you don't deserve it. And if you give him half an ear, he says, you remember that time back there when? Does this happen to you? Tell him, paid in full. Done. Remind the devil of his future. Can anybody tell me where that's going to be? Lake of fire. One guy says, if he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. There you go. So now, what does grace bring to us? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There, say that with me. There is therefore now no condemnation. Let's stop. What does now mean? Now. Somebody give me a better definition for that. Or is there one? Right now. There you go. Not sometime in the future. Not when you get to heaven. Not when you get baptized. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paid in full. Jesus Christ Here's another one that grace gives to us. Jesus Christ has made us free through grace. We talked about that last week. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Christ set us free. Getting tongue-tied. And that's the teaching that Paul gave them to Galatia. And he tells them, listen, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. There was people that was trying to enslave them and bring them back under the law. So folks, when Jesus saves us, he makes us free. Last week, you know, I'm not even finished early unless I get on a rant about something today. There's a few things that he's made us free from. Let me read them to you. First, we are free from having to live out the law of Moses. We've already talked about that. Secondly, we are free from the condemnation of all of our sin. So, all right, let's get some amens going here. You like that one? All right. We are free from the power of sin. We don't have to sin, folks. I thought it might get quiet there. We sin because we choose to. The power of sin is... But we sin because we choose. We're free from the power of sin. Next, we are free from legalism. Remember I said Chuck Swindoll gave that story about a young couple's missionaries and they got discouraged because they were eating peanut butter. If you don't know that story, come and see me. I'll tell you the story. But legalists sometimes will get something that God doesn't necessarily said, and they make it a big holy thing to destroy people with because they're doing whatever it is. We don't have to do that. That's what was happening in the church at Galatia. People were being legalists, trying to drag them back under bondage, and Paul says, no, you don't do that. Even the Apostle Peter slipped into it occasionally as he's trying to appease the brother. Paul set him straight. Do you know that happened? Paul set Peter straight? Not this Peter. But listen, folks. You can't do that. We need to live according to freedom. The freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Oh, and the last one I kind of tagged on. We are free from the burden of having to state our opinion or being judgmental to other people. Oops. What's wrong with stating my opinion? What's wrong with being judgmental? Didn't Jesus say, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment that you judge, you'll be judged yourself? One of the best reasons for not being judgmental is because you're going to be judged by your own judgment. So don't be judgmental. Anybody ever tempted to be judgmental? You ever look at somebody who does something a little differently and you just go, it's a normal thing to do. Isn't it? Yeah, it does. Well, who set you up as God, hey? Folks, we're free from that. We don't have to do that. Now, when God speaks about something, there's not anything being judgmental about it. You just speak what God says, but make sure, I think it's Galatians 6:1, that you do it in the spirit of meekness and fear, considering yourself, lest you get in trouble. If you're going to tell somebody they're kind of slipped off going the wrong direction, you make sure that you place yourself below them before you say anything. Any of this up above them looking down, you've just lost. You do it in the spirit of meekness. And that's reserved for spiritual people. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. So be careful about judging other people. Aren't you glad we're free? Now, there's something new I want to look at this week. We are free from all these things, but are we free to do whatever we want? Why not? Thanks, Mel. Yeah. Yes, we have been emancipated. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But are we free to do whatever? Well, there's something else we need to do we're going to look at. And I'm going to read the verse here in just a minute, but I'm going to begin with telling you a story. Everybody's familiar with the Civil War in the early U.S. history. And the whole Civil War was fought to win freedom for the slaves, all right? This slave thing, it was a blight on American English history and on anybody who had anything to do with it. It was a blight on their history. It was hugely wrong. And what it is, there was people that were being enslaved, and the entire Civil War was fought to win those people's freedom. So the North eventually won. Freedom was won for everybody, so everybody was free to do whatever they wanted to. But something happened that was totally unexpected. Some of those people that were set free chose to continue serving masters. And you know why? It's because there were some of those masters that treated them so well that they wanted to work for these people. So free people that chose to be slaves to a master. There was even people coming around kind of really pushing it. Hey, you're free, just free. You can go do whatever you want to. They said, we are doing what we want to. We're working for this guy over here. It's what we want to do. Somehow I think that kind of pictures what happens in this next verse. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. That's the gospel. And having been freed from sin, that's what grace did for us, you became slaves of righteousness. People that's been set free have become subservient to righteousness. You know what that's called? It's called a bondservant. A bondservant. I mean, back in the Old Testament, some people, you know, became bondservants because they would choose to work for one particular master, and that master would put his sign upon that servant just by punching punching a hole in their ear and saying, this one's mine. And the slave would say, yep, he's my master. So they had a mutual agreement. One would work for the other, and the master would look after, getting ahead of myself, but the master would look after the servant. It was a good relationship. It's good for everybody. Verses 20 and 22, for when you were slaves of sin, that's what we once were, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? And let's continue, for the end of those things is death, and that's being slaves of sin. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness, in the end, everlasting life. Simply stated, since grace has set us free from the power and penalty of sin,
we have been set free, we need to choose to become servants of a master. We need to make the choice. I'm going to use the word slaves, become slaves to a master. You might say, well, I'm not anybody's slave. You won't be a good Christian. Because, folks, all through our talk about grace, we've been talking about we've got to crucify this self. Well, I don't want to be weak. The Apostle Paul said, in my weakness, he becomes strong. That's crucified in Christ. That's becoming dead to yourself and allowing him to live through us. Isn't that what we want? But since we've been set free from all of this rubbish of the world, we need to surrender to become servants to righteousness and doing what honors God. Have you done that? Have you made that decision to become a servant to doing what is right? Think about it. Think about it. I know people are thinking about it because it's getting real quiet in here. So no, as Christians, yes, we have been set free. But if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to be a servant to a very good master. And that's the God we talked about on day one of our study of grace, who Louis Giglio said, he's the star breather. He made everything. And I mean, the stars. He made the earth in the very smallest molecule that he can be. He made it. He made the furthest galaxy. He names them by name. That's who our master is. And I like that. Because he's unlimited in his capabilities. That's who our boss is. And he's given that responsibility to a Jewish carpenter. You know who I'm talking about? Jesus. So have you made that decision to be a servant to righteousness? You see, when we invite Jesus to be our Savior, I think the Apostle Paul said, we also invite him to be Lord. Lord's pretty big. I think it's more powerful than boss or employer. He's Lord. We sing this song, the chorus that so many people know. He is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And your tongue and my tongue will confess that he is Lord. So we might as well do it now. Do you agree? What kind of a life does that look like? What does God expect of me? I'm glad you ask. And I'm going to let the Apostle Paul tell us, all right? Now don't read. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to even read it from the New Living Translation where it doesn't need a translation, all right? Just hang with me. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. I think you have that in your notes. Let me read it to you. The Apostle Paul is pretty clear about what he wants us to do. Listen, he said, first, stop telling lies. That's the first sentence. We wouldn't have trouble with that, would we? You sure you're not telling me a lie? Let me continue. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives foothold to the devil. Point two. The next one. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Boy, that's blunt, isn't it? Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Are your words an encouragement? Is everything that you say an encouragement? Yes, no? Need to be. Verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Listen, folks, this is a big one. The Holy Spirit is with you if you are a Christian. In any time we step outside of God's design for us, we, according to the King James Bible, we grieve the Holy Spirit, or we bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you what, that is an important thing. Because when you finally get the concept that what you're doing outside of the will of God grieves the Holy Spirit living within you, that can break your heart. But you need to get your head around that. Because that happens every day. He's there every day. And he said, do not grieve that Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Here's some more good instruction. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Let me read that list again. You ready? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Boy, that covers a lot, doesn't it? You see, a servant of Jesus will get rid of those things. Now here's the fun part. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Well, so how's the servant of Jesus supposed to live? You're supposed to be kind, tender-hearted, very quickly forgiving. Does that describe you? Come on, does that describe you? Kind, tender-hearted, very quickly forgiving. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Woe is me. But you see, if we surrender our lives to Jesus, this is the things that we're going to do, all right? Are we perfect? No. No. But that doesn't stop us moving towards the direction we should be, right? Simply stated, God's gave us so much. Don't you think we should? And because God gave us grace, don't you think we should give grace to other people? That's what Paul just said. Now let me ask you, are you a person of grace? Because God gave us so much in grace, he wants us to be people of grace that will give grace to those around us. How are we doing? That's the whole point of our study for the last 7 weeks. Funny that it would end on number 7. So folks, I think maybe we have some work to do. I know I do. I know I do. But real quickly, there are some benefits to the people who decide to live this way. First, when you're talking about a master, you know what a master does? He not only tells the servant what to do, but he also takes responsibility for that servant. Yeah, when we surrender to God, he takes responsibility for us. That's a pretty good protective partner, isn't it? Listen to some things that he said. This is all New Testament. Ephesians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." That's what our master will do for us. Secondly, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. I love this one. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above, abundantly above all that we ask or think." Boy, that's a pretty big God, isn't it? "According to the power that works in us." You mean this guy who can do everything has given the power to us and through us to do it too? That's what our master does for his servants. Doesn't that blow your mind? "To him be the glory in the church of Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Last one and I'm done. Listen to this promise from 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you." What did I just say? Guard you from the evil one. In other words, our master will do to those who are his servants. He will establish us or use his power to give us strength. And he has promised to guard us from the devil. Praise the Lord. If I could think of a praise song, I'd sing one right now. Folks, isn't that what we want? I think. But we need to be people of grace. That's what I want for my life. How about you? Please stand. Today as we leave, I just want you to be aware. Have you made yourself a bondservant to God? Yes, we have been set free from so many things that enslave human beings. We don't have to worry about it. But because we've been set free, have we surrendered to be a bondservant to the master of the universe? Take that thought home with you. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Help us to be all we can be or all you created us to be. It's an amazing thing to think that the power that you have given the power through us. It's what Paul said, word for word. So, Father, help us be surrendered to your will so we can see your will in our lives and throughout the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week.